as it relates to the lesson this morning. We are going to forgo that. Just give me a second here. A lesson which I sought to touch on last week, Sunday night. Just the introductory part of that lesson we would like to pick up tonight. The lesson is about second thought. That is, a lot of time in many areas of life, we tend to make mistake at the first go at things. We should let our mistake at the first go at anything help us to be wiser for the second time. I stated last week, Sunday night, I think it was, that in many instances in life, those of us who get a second chance at whatever the thing, whatever the situation, whatever the condition, that second chance, the second thought, that is when we get a chance to rethink the thing because of mistake made at first, the second thought are often the better one. It is a fact of life that our first thought, our first outlook, estimate, perception, they are often mistaken. They are often wrong. When this is the case, the wise person, usually the wise person, the thoughtful man or woman, usually take steps to make sure that looking at the thing the second time, doing the thing the second time, estimating the thing the second time, I do not make the same mistake I made at first. The lesson is really taken from the book of Second Kings, chapter 5, verse 12 to verse 15. Let us hear the passage. And this is a lesson where some 3, 4, 5, 6 weeks ago, when I dealt with a series of lessons surrounding Naaman. It is from then I had in mind sharing this lesson. Let us hear the passage 2 Kings chapter 5 verse 12 through 15.
Are not Abana and Pharpar, rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? May I not wash in them and be clean? So he turned and went away in a rage. And his servants came near and spake unto him and said, My father, if the prophet had bid thee to do some great thing, wouldest thou not have done it? How much rather then, when he said to thee, Wash and be clean? Then went he down and dipped himself 7 times in Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God.
In life, stop there. Help comes to us from many directions. And a lot of times help comes from the most unusual direction. Naaman's first thought or thinking was wrong. What we have just read in those two last verses gave Naaman a chance to rethink his decision. That rethinking helped him to get things right. But look here. In many cases, as I'll be showing by example here, in many cases in life, we do not get a second chance. That is the fact. Well, let me back up. Life, not only in the Christian realm, but especially so. In fact, God meant it so that in the Christian life, it is learning, adjusting, and improving. That's what the Christian life is about. Learning, you adjust in respect to new knowledge you have gained each day, and you improve. Life was meant to be like that. In no area of life, even the profession that any of us, or any of you, the secular calling that you may discipline yourself in, you do not get up one day or one week or one month or one year and become an expert in it. Life, and especially the Christian life, it's about learning, adjusting, and improving. Now, as I said, in many cases in life, we do not get a second chance to correct or right wrongs, right or correct that which was incorrect, or correct ruinous thoughts, correct bad decisions, correct wrong outlook. In investment, relationship, health, employment, and these areas, in many cases in life, many people don't get a second chance.
There are many men and women. Somebody came along and told them, future and how they can invest that money. And they invested it. Lasted and never recover from that loss. Now I'm not asking the person who may have a wrong decision in investment, in relationship, and it turn out bad and they recover from it. There are many people who never recover from a faulty, wrong decision, wrong outlook on things that condition decision. As I said, it might be in employment, it might be in relationship, it might be in health, it might be in investment. Naaman got a second chance. And the passage just read, we read from verse 12 to verse 15. Let us hear verse 9 to 12.
So Naaman came with his horses and with chariots, and his chariot, and stood at the door of the house of Elisha. And Elisha sent a messenger unto him, saying, Go and wash in Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean. That's 10. But Naaman was wroth, and went away. But Naaman was wroth, and went away and said, Behold, I thought, he will surely come out to me. And his servants came near and spake unto him and said, My father, if the prophet had bid thee to do some great thing, wouldest thou not have done it? How much rather then, when he saith to thee, Wash and be clean?
The slave heard, saying, Watch, it
Then went he down and dipped himself 7 times in Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God. And his flesh came again like unto the flesh of a little child, and he was clean.
This is what we mean when we talk about second thought or second chance. We must learn from where we go wrong in first decision. And let that first decision where we make mistake, let it be guided so that the second one we are wise. Naaman showed his common sense, or if I may, his good sense and wisdom in giving up his original foolish, ruinous intention, that first intention. Just pick up on the verse where he went away in rage.
Are not Abana and Pharpar, rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? May I not wash in them and be clean? So he turned and went away in a rage.
The young prophet in the book of 1 Kings 13 did not get a second chance. Sometimes we don't in many important areas of life. In the book of 1 Kings chapter 13, verse 22, 24, quick, run over it, bro.
And it came to pass as they sat at the table that the word of the Lord came unto the prophet that brought him back. And he cried unto the man of God that came from Judah, saying, Thus saith the Lord, for as much as thou hast disobeyed the mouth of the Lord, and hast not kept the commandments which the Lord thy God commanded thee,
area, let God instruct in the same way if God does.
but camest back and hast eaten bread and drunk water in the place of the which the Lord did say to thee, eat no bread and drink no water. Thy carcass shall not come unto the sepulchre of thy fathers. And Samuel said, what hast thou done? And Saul said, because I saw that the people were scattered from me, and that thou camest not within the days appointed, and that the Philistines gathered themselves together unto Michmash. Therefore said I, the Philistine will come down now upon me to Gilgal, and I have not made supplication unto the Lord. I forced myself therefore, and offered a burnt offering. And Samuel said to Saul, "Thou hast done foolishly. Thou hast not kept the commandment of the Lord which he commanded thee."
perception and belief, because we don't want it to be said that I changed. My God, when you find out that you are wrong, the quicker you change, the better it is for you. In almost anything, when you find out that you are wrong. And had Naaman not humble and wise enough to give up his first and his original intention. That first and original intention is to reject the command of God's prophet and to return to his country. That was Naaman's first thought, original intention. And he continues, as I said, it would have resulted in his death from leprosy. And he would die practicing idolatry. There's another point that let me see what I can in the time I have given myself. Another important and applicable lesson surrounding Naaman and Elijah is Naaman's gift and Elijah's rejection of that gift. Have you ever thought that they are lessons in that for us? And you see, especially those of us who preach and teach, there's lessons in it for everyone. But you see, those of us who preach and teach and those who have leadership position in the church, we can take lessons from Elijah's rejection of the gift. Once we try to understand why he rejected that gift, let us look at verses, say chapter 5, verse 15 and 16.
And he said, "As the Lord liveth, before whom I stand, I will receive none." And he urged him, verse 16, and he returned to the man of God. And he returned to the man of God, he and all his company, and came, and stood before him, and he said, "Behold, now I know that there is no God in all the earth but in Israel." Now therefore I pray thee, take a blessing of thy servant. But he said, "As the Lord liveth, before whom I stand, I will receive none." And he urged him to take it, but he refused.
In the first place, prophets were entitled or permitted to accept gifts from those who consulted them. I repeat, prophets were permitted. They were entitled to accept gifts from those who came to the prophet for advice and consultation. You see example of this in 1 Samuel chapter 9, verse 78, 2 Kings 4, 42. Let us hear it quickly.
1 Samuel's 9.
1 Samuel 9, verse 78, 2 Kings 4, verse 42.
Then said Saul to his servant, Behold, if we go, what shall we bring the man? For the bread is spent in our vessels. For the bread is spent in our vessels. And there is not a present to bring to the man of God. What have we? That was verse 7. You wanted it? And the servant answered Saul again and said, Behold, I have here at hand the fourth part of a shekel of silver that I will give to the man of God to tell us our way. And there came a man from Baal Shalisha and brought the man of God bread of the first fruits, 20 loaves of barley, and full ears of corn in the husk thereof.
Difference between One is accepted by the prophet, one is rejected by the man of God. Among the consideration, and remember, why left like this, what I gather from the dark night for myself, when you are given things, there are some people, whatever they give you, you know it is out of pure consideration. You know that. As brothers and sisters, you know somebody give you something. It's because they are considerate of you. They were thinking of you. It could be that they see your need, or they know you like the thing, or you can use the thing. That's great. There are other people, when they are giving you something, it's wise for you to ask, what, if any, are the strings that are attached to this gift? Is it money? Is it other funds? It's wise sometimes for you to ask, what are the strings that are? What will I be called upon to come from mine? By accepting this gift, what wrong message am I sending by accepting this gift? What is the gift I am accepting? What is it buying? Is it buying my conviction as a Christian, as a church leader? Is it buying my soul? Is it buying Christ too? So that by accepting that, if I cannot preach or teach the truth that I offer, is it buying discipline? You lost me, dear brother Mitchell. I think it was last week or the week before I shared in men's class. Brother Pope, not our brother Pope who died recently, the older brother Pope died. Before we have anything like this, the first meeting we had here, perfect, greatest gospel meeting. We talk about seeing people like right and free. True. That was a meeting. We had a big pain, tried to get a pain from the arm, and what the army had to do was put many small pains together. And it is still, first night of the meeting, I was much younger and experienced. Rain fell that Sunday afternoon, and I was so discouraged. And when I went to pick up Brother Cole from my grandma's back, and he was staying at the airport, I came down early and went back to pick him up. And when I came back and see the frog, Brother Cole, who's used to be a frog, when he saw the frog, he was attacked. And then the crowd keeps growing. And then under the tent, well, we call it, we almost call it Kalaman, because many small tents put together with the like Kalaman. First night, second night, just hundreds of people. So after 2 days, somebody recommended that we check J. Ray and Ned. And that we will check and that a good thing. But on the end, you're wrong. That's true. Right down here. And the gospel was being preached that never forget to listen. But brother, oh, not that old, his son, who just about my just about actually years ago when I was called to do the giant brother Philip, one of the elders of the Northwest Church who died. And brother Holson, who I knew from was a young 22 year old, because both of us were old and the same age. He was at the funeral. And when we were meeting, he was telling, he had just taken over the congregation that he was telling us of the experience he had with this brother. This brother would almost every week give him an envelope with $100. And he would with a nice five day down to the brother. But what he discovered in the adult Sunday school, he discovered that that brother wanted to have his own way. You see, Brother Holt was a new creature of the congregation. And he wanted, so that in discussion, even when Brother Holt tried to tell him that, well, enough, I want the Lord, he didn't want to leave. He would want to just carry on. So by the following week, he came, greet Brother Holt, and handing him an envelope of his Brother Holt said, no, I don't want it. You see, that money was buying in this city. Brother Holt is an experiencer. He discovered that